नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम द फिफ्थ कैंटो ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 9 एंटाइटल्ड द सुप्रीम कैरेक्टर ऑफ जड भरत टेक्स्ट नंबर 15। सिंस द टेक्स्ट इज अ प्रोज वन जस्ट विल हैव ट्रांसलिटरेशन वर्ड बाय वर्ड मीनिंग अथ ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन। आफ्टर दिस ऑल द थीव्स अकॉर्डिंग टू देयर इमेजिनेटिव ritual for killing animalistic men, bathed Jad Bharat, dressed him in new clothes, decorated him with ornaments befitting an animal, smeared his body with scented oils, and decorated him with tilak, sandalwood pulp and garlands. They fed him sumptuously and then brought him before the goddess Kali, offering her incense, lamps, garlands, parched grain, newly grown twigs, sprouts, fruits and flowers. In this way they worshipped the deity before killing the man animal, and they vibrated songs and prayers and played drums and bugles. Jad Bharat was then made to sit down before the deity. Purport. In this verse the word swavidhina, according to their own ritualistic principles, is very significant. According to the Vedic Shastras, everything must be done according to regulative principles. But here it is stated that the thieves and rogues devised their own process of killing an animalistic man. The Tamasic Shastras give instructions for the sacrifice of an animal like a goat or buffalo before the goddess Kali, but there is no mention of killing an animal. There is no mention of killing a man, however dull he may be. This process was manufactured by the dacoits themselves. Therefore, the word swavidhina is used. Even at this time, there are many sacrifices being conducted without reference to the Vedic scriptures. For instance, in Calcutta, recently, a slaughterhouse was being advertised as a temple of the goddess Kali. Meat eaters foolishly purchase meat from such shops, thinking it is different from ordinary meat and taking it to be the prasad of goddess Kali. The sacrifice of a goat or a similar animal before the goddess Kali is mentioned in the Shastras just to keep people from eating slaughterhouse meat and become responsible for the killing of animals. The conditioned soul has a natural tendency towards sex and meat eating. Consequently, the Shastras grant them some concessions. Actually, the Shastras aim at putting an end to these abominable activities, but they impart some regulative principles so that gradually meat eaters and sex hunters will be rectified. So Srila Prabhupada is making a very wonderful and an important point in this purport. Srila Prabhupada begins the purport by saying, in this verse, the word swavidhina is very significant. Swavidhina means to manufacture one's own vidhi, swavidhi. Manufacture one's own concocted system of religion. And Srila Prabhupada is giving the statement based on this particular verse that all the dacoits who had captured Jad Bharat brought him in front of goddess Kali and were now wanting to kill him and offer him as a sacrifice. No Vedic scriptures mention the sacrifice of a human being. Prabhupada mentions, no matter however dull a man may be, the scriptures and the Shastras do not enjoin killing of a man as sacrifice. The Shastras do mention killing of an animal like a goat or a buffalo, Prabhupada says, as sacrifice, but not a man. Therefore, the dacoits' offering of Jad Bharat as a sacrifice to Goddess Kali was not Shastric. It was not based on Shastra Vidhi. It was based on Swavidhi, one's own concocted system of religion. The example is often quoted that each of us in the human form of life are simply like an appliance or a gadget. And the Shastras or the scriptures are like an instruction manual. Just like the instruction manual gives us what to do and what not to do with a gadget or an appliance, similarly the scriptures or the Shastra tell us what to do with this appliance and what not to do with this appliance. What to do with this human form of life and what not to do with this human form of life. I was talking to a few students recently, and as I was talking to students, the point that was being driven home by the students to me was that everything in life needs standards. You know, a woman cooking some food in the kitchen, when she wants to buy some asafoetida ink, she wants to look for Agmark brand of ink. If someone wants measurements, then 1 meter, 1 kilo, 1 liter, everything has a standard. Hing has a standard, Agmark brand. 1 kilo, 1 liter, 1 hour has a standard set by a standard organization. And surprisingly, everything in society is based on certain standards. People go to buy ice cream, they want to see if it's a standard one. They want to see if the green dot is there, whether it is standard, whether it is vegan, vegetarian or not. If we carefully observe human society, we will see standards pervading in every aspect of human life. Every ordinary aspect of life. But when it comes to standards of one's own life, standards of living, then people do not want to accept standards. Ice cream, they want a standard one. Weight, they want a standard one. Trousers and shirts, they want a standard one. Edible items, they want standard ones. And when it comes to living, they want to set their own standards. They will have an Indian standard organization setting standards for mass, volume, length, etc. They will have a food organization setting standards for edibles. And when it comes to standards of life, then they'd want to take the authority in their own hands. Why? Does it seem logical? Does it seem just? If we need an authority, an organization to set standards for everything in life, then we might as well accept an authority for standards in our own life. That authority is Shastra. That authority is Scripture. The Scripture, the Shastra, gives us the standards to which we are supposed to calibrate our life. Here are the standards. And if we want to live a wholesome life, if we want to live a perfect life, if we want to live a successful life, then our life must be calibrated to the standards given in the Shastra. Right. And what is the injunction of the Shastra? What is the recommendation? What is the ultimate standard given by the Shastra? Everything that the Scripture says must ultimately boil down to this. It must ultimately lead us to pure devotional service unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasiddhi. Scriptures may give so many different varieties of dharma. Matra dharma, pitra dharma, rashtra dharma, deva dharma, rishi dharma, so many dharmas. Savai pumsam paro dharmo. What is para dharma? The topmost of all dharmas, the essence of the Shastra, yato bhaktir adhokshaje, it must lead to devotional service unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Anything less than this, Bhagavad says it is kaitava dharma or cheating religion. Anything less than pure devotional service to Krishna, it may still be mentioned in the Shastra, but the Bhagavat rejects it, saying it is cheating religion or Kaitava Dharma. Narad Muni spoke to Vyasdev and said, "My dear Vyasdev, you have given so many different paths and so many different injunctions in all the scriptures you have compiled. You have cheated people in the name of Dharma. Therefore, now compile a literature which is devoid of such cheating, which is devoid of such contamination." Therefore, the Bhagavad was compiled. And at the very outset, the second verse of the first chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, cheating religion, Kaitava Dharma, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha has been rejected. Right. And pure devotional service to Krishna has been established as the conclusion of all dharma. Therefore, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, "Prithivite yaha kichu dharma nama chale, Bhagavata kohe tar paripurna chale. Prithivite yaha kichu dharma nama chale." On the planet Earth, anything may go on in the name of dharma. Kichu dharma nama chale. Bhagavata kohe. What is the verdict of the Bhagavatam? Bhagavata kohe tar paripurna chale. It is complete chal. Absolute cheating. Not just chal, paripurna chal. Perfect cheating. Complete cheating. The whole gamut of cheating activities is included in the name of so-called dharma. You see? So what to speak of meat eating in the scriptures? What to speak of injunctions of all these other sub-religious principles? Even Jnana Kand, Karma Kand, Upasana Kand is said to be paripurna chale. Here we are talking of recommendation like meat eating in the scriptures. What to speak of that? That is definitely condemned. But according to the statement of Shripad Vrindavan Das Thakur, anything that goes on in the name of religion, if it is less than pure devotional service to Krishna, it could be karma, jnana, upasana, anything. It is simply paripurna chale. Right. Simply cheating religion. Therefore, when we talk of Shastra as an instruction manual, Shastra setting standards, what is the standard that we are supposed to come up to? We are supposed to come up to the standard of Ahaituki Apratihata Bhakti unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna explains to us in the Gita what is the status of those who do not follow Shastra Vidhi. Here the word Prabhupada uses is Swavidhina, is very significant. One's own Vidhi, concocted system of religion. Paripurna Chal. Right. Krishna explains, "Yah Shastra Vidhi Mutsrijja Vartate Kamakaratah Nasasiddhim Avapnoti Nasukham Naparamam Gatim." Anyone who gives up Shastra Vidhi Utsrijja, giving up Shastra Vidhi, and Vartate Kamakarata, acts according to his own desires, which means Swavidhi, concocts his own system of working, own system of perfection in life. What is the result for such a person? Nasa siddhim avapnoti. Such a person cannot get perfection. Forget about perfection. Nasukham. When he's living in this world, perfection is after. Even if there's no perfection, at least he should have been happy in this world. Nasukham. Krishna says he cannot even be happy. Na paramam gatim. No perfection in his endeavor. Number one. No happiness while living in this world. Number two. And no ultimate destination. Paramam gatim. Number three. Why? Because he has given up Shastra Vidhi and is manufacturing his own Vidhi. Swavidhi. Vartate kamakaratah. Rupa Goswami also mentions a similar verse. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhim Vina Harim Aikantikim Bhaktim उत्पातायैव कल्पते श्रुति स्मृति पुराण पंचरात्र मेंशन व्हाट विधि अ प्रोसेस अ स्टैंडर्ड पाथ एनीवन हु रिजेक्ट्स श्रुति स्मृति पुराण आदि पंचरात्र विधिम विना रिजेक्ट्स दिस विधि एंड देन स्वविधि बेस्ड ऑन हिज ओन कॉन्कॉक्टेड सिस्टम्स हरिमैकांत किम भक्तिम इवन इफ ही रेंडर्स डिवोशनल सर्विस टू कृष्णा हरिम ऐकांत किम भक्तिम फॉरगेट अबाउट मीटिंग एंड स्टफ सिंपली डिवोशनल सर्विस टू कृष्णा इफ इट इज नॉट बेस्ड ऑन शास्त्र इट इज कॉन्कॉक्टेड व्हाट इज द रिजल्ट उत्पातायैव कल्पते इट इज सिंपली गोइंग टू क्रिएट केओस इन ह्यूमन सोसाइटी उत्पात उत्पातायैव कल्पते I remember once I was at Father Agnell's College of Engineering to give a lecture. And on the way back, there was one devotee with me. And we saw a few kids playing cricket. You know, as these kids were playing cricket, myself and this devotee, we stood there and observed that game for more than 5 minutes. And then on the way back, we were discussing this verse, Shruti Smriti Puranadi, and linking it to the scene that we saw there on the street. So a few tots, tiny tots, 4-year-old, 5-year-old boys playing cricket. You know what was their pitch? The cricket pitch for them was the tar road, right? Obviously. And what was the size of the pitch? Whatever they wanted. Maybe a few feet because they were tiny children. So a few feet away, maybe about 5 feet or 6 feet was the pitch size. And what were their stumps, their wickets? 2 bricks. We have seen this sight, you know, on the streets. 2 bricks were kept. And what was the bat? The bat was, in Marathi they call, I don't know what it is called in English. There is something called as dhopatna. You know, dhopatna is a wooden stick to wash clothes. Ladies use it. So tiny kids, they use that small little wooden thing to use at a bat. And what is their ball? Their ball is not a standard ball. They use some plastic ball or some rubber ball is very famous. Plastic ball is not so famous with kids, but rubber ball they use for playing cricket. And then what is their 4? Their 4 is if the ball goes in the gutter, then that is a 4. What is their 6? If the ball hits the glass pane and the glass is broken, then it is a 6er. Right. They have their own ways of playing cricket. Right? This is called Swavidhi. They have concocted their own system of playing cricket. Externally, is it cricket or not? It seems to be like cricket. Because there is a wicket, there is a pitch, there is a ball, there is a bat, there is a 4, there is a 6er. Everything seems to be cricket. But will anyone call it cricket? Anyone who knows what is cricket, Saurav Ganguly or Sachin Tendulkar, will he call it cricket? No. Why? Because it is not based on the standard books which lay the injunctions based on which cricket should be played. I think it's called the book of what? Borden or what? Borden? I don't know what it's exactly term. Book of Borden or something. Right. Which lays down the standards, the vidhi based on which cricket should be played. As soon as that vidhi is rejected and swavidhi is taken, what happens? Utpatayaiva kalpate, chaos. All the neighbors are shouting on the top of their voice. Why the hell they are making so much noise here? Now when the people are playing cricket on the stadium, in the stadium on the pitch, everyone else is making noise saying hip hip hooray. Right. And here, when the children are making noise, the neighbors are saying what the hell is going on here. Right. If the cricket player, if Sachin Tendulkar shouts loudly, everyone also shouts and applauds. But when children do that, no one applauds. And then when Sachin Tendulkar hits a sixer, and from Wankhede Stadium, the ball goes and hits the glass pane of some neighbor. That glass pane will be stored as a memoir, you know. Wow, this was hit by Sachin Tendulkar and broken by Sachin Tendulkar. When the same thing is done by a kid, then the neighbors come to the family fighting. We want reimbursement. Just see, when something is done against the set vidhi, it is the cause of utpata or chaos. The same thing when it is done according to the standard vidhi, then that's not considered to be chaos or utpata. Similarly, when bhakti or anything is done against shastra vidhi, utpata eva kalpate, it is simply the source of utpata or chaos.
And we have seen it a few years back in the land of India. In the name of making a temple
right.
for the Supreme Lord, it was supposed to be bhakti. It was supposed to be devotion to the Lord to make a temple. But because it was not based on Shruti, Smriti, Puran, Pancharatra,
right.
not according to that vidhi, Swavidhi, we have invented a way, we have developed a self-styled way of religion based on which we want to make a temple for the Lord. And what was it a result of? Utpat, chaos. Hundreds and thousands of innocent Hindus lost their lives. You see? In the Valmiki Ramayana, we must recall that Lord Ramachandra, after having made Sita go through the Agni Pariksha or the fire test, he banished Sita to the forest. We remember that Lakshmana was called by Lord Ramachandra and Lord Ram told Lakshman that you should take Sita away to the forest. Lakshmana was taken aback by surprise. Why? Lord Ram said, I am Maryada Purushottam. I heard a washerman, a dhobi, say that, you know, he was talking to his wife. His wife had been a debauchee. And he said, oh, Lord Ram can do all of that. He can accept a woman touched by another man. But me, don't think I am Lord Ram. Lord Ram decided to banish Mother Sita to the forest. Now, wouldn't we be surprised by hearing what I'm going to say now? We all will be taken aback by surprise. When Maharaj Dasharath banished Lord Ram to the forest, 14 years of exile, Lakshman and Sita also complied that we will also go to the forest. Lord Ram, Sita and Lakshman, when they started off to go to the forest to maintain the integrity of their vow taken in front of their father, that yes, we will go to the forest for 14 years in exile. All the Ayodhya Vasis, all the residents of Ayodhya were extremely pained in their hearts. All the Ayodhya Vasis joined Lord Ram, Sita and Lakshman to go to the forest. Everyone went, followed Lord Ram to the forest. And we know at a certain point of time they were sent back and Sumantra also returned back. Right. But they were pained. They felt extremely dejected. They were in despair seeing that their beloved Lord Ram and Mother Sita were now going to be banished to the forest. Wouldn't we be surprised to hear that when Sita was banished by Lord Ram after the Agni Pariksha, all of these Ayodhyavasis agreed to Lord Ramchandra. The same Ayodhyavasis who objected, how can Maithili, how can Janaki tolerate the pains and the tortures and the tribulations that would come their way in exile? Now the same Ayodhyavasis, when Maithili Janaki was banished by Lord Ram, agreed to the proposal of Lord Ram. Right. They supported Lord Ramachandra. How and why? Right. That's one aspect of Lord Ram's Leela. Secondly, how can the Supreme Lord and His Ladini Shakti be ever separated? Can the Lord and His Ladini Shakti ever be separated? Can the energetic and the energy ever be separated? Energetic and energy being separated is the philosophy and the Siddhanta of the Mayavadis or the impersonalists. So how is it that Lord Ram and Sita were separated? How, when Lord Ram banished Sita to the forest after the Agni Pariksha? Shripad Madhvacharya in his Tatparya Nirnaya gives us a classic explanation for this point, for the story, resolves the controversy. And when we see the resolution of this controversy, that will make our point about Shastra Vidhi very strong also. It is explained that there was a demon whose name was Suranaka. This demon went to the forest and performed severe austerity for several hundreds of years. Which means performing austerity or tapasya is not what a devotee does. Right? Tapasya even demons can do. A devotee is recognized not by his austerity. A devotee is recognized by how much he remembers and serves Krishna. And tapasya is an added feather in his cap if he does so. But a demon is known for his austerity and tapasya. Suranaka performed hundreds of years of tapasya and austerity to appease Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, very much pleased by his austerities, appeared in front of Suranaka. He asked Suranaka, "My dear son, what do you want?" Suranaka replied, "My dear Lord Brahma, the only thing I want is liberation, moksha, mukti. But in order to get that liberation, mukti, moksha, I will not follow any shastra vidhi. I do not want to follow anything given in the scripture. Yet at the end of my life, I want to be liberated." And God knows what happened to Brahma. Brahma said, "Tathastu." Very often it happens to him. Right. He just says, "Tathastu." And later realizes the repercussions of what he has said. What were the repercussions of the benediction that Lord Brahma had given? If Suranaka would get liberation without having to follow anything mentioned in the Shastra Vidhi, then everyone in the world would get kind of a license. Oh, we can also go to Lord Brahma. We can also worship Lord Brahma. We do not have to follow any scripture and still we can get moksha or liberation. Right. Brahma was confused. Somehow the Lord inspired Suranaka to speak. Demons, they are very puffed up. Right. So like Ravana, when Ravana was given a benediction by Lord Shiva. Right. What did Ravana say? "Oh, I do not want to be killed by this, 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 this." "What about a human being?" He said, "Oh, human? How can a human kill me?" Therefore, Lord Ram came in a Nararupa to kill Ravana. Suranaka also was very puffed up. But he had thorough knowledge of the Shastra. Even a demon in those days had thorough knowledge of Shastra. He said, "My dear Lord Brahma, I am not going to follow any Shastra Vidhi. And I want liberation at the end of my life. The only condition in which I should not get liberation is when Lakshmi and Narayan are separated." Which means he knew thoroughly well that Lakshmi and Narayan can never be separated. Energetic and energy can never be separated. Even a demon knew this. And we have some panthas in Mumbai and in Maharashtra, who want to have Krishna alone. No energy, no devotees, no one around. Krishna alone. What is it? What mentality is it? It is the mentality of the Suranaka demon. Right. It is demoniac mentality. Correct. But Suranaka demon was better, I would say. This Pantha is worse. Suranaka demon knew that Lakshmi and Narayan can never be separated. So he said, "Only condition in which I should not be liberated is when Lakshmi and Narayan are separated." Now you can imagine, he has the benediction that he can continue doing whatever he likes without following any Shastra Vedi, but at the end of his life, he can be liberated. He became powerful. He started torturing the devatas. He started torturing the humans on earth. Right. All the demigods were in great distress. They somehow or the other wanted relief from this demon. At that time, in Treta Yuga, Lord Ram and Sita were performing their pastimes on this planet Earth. Lord Ram and Sita were staying as ordinary human beings. It was their Naralila. Lord Ram appeared to be like any other ordinary human being, following the orders of his son, of his father very obediently, going to the forest, and when Sita was kidnapped by Ravana, going to trees and deers and rivers and shrubs, and like a lovesick man asking, "Oh, have you seen my wife? Have you seen my wife?" Like any lover would do for a beloved. Right. Ordinary Leela. Looks like Narakriti Leela. Like that of an ordinary human being. At that time, the demon Suranaka came to Ayodhya. And Brahma realized, "There is some problem. I have given this benediction. Now I must control the situation." Correct. Brahma inspired the demon Suranaka to influence all the Ayodhyavasis. Correct. So when Lord Ram said to Lakshman that you must banish Sita to the forest, how would the Ayodhyavasis agree? We have seen that in the beginning, when Sita was sent to exile with Lord Ram, when Sita went, They did not agree. They personally went with her. They personally went with Lord Ram and Sita to the forest. But at this time, they agreed that Sita should be banished. Why? They were all under the influence of the demon Suranaka. How? Brahma wanted it to be so. Why did Brahma want it to be so? Because if Lakshmi and Narayan, Sita and Ram would not be separated, then the demon Suranaka would get liberation without following Shastra Vidhi. Madhvacharya explains that the Supreme Lord Ramachandra and his Ladini Shakti, Sita Devi, both voluntarily agreed to go through this pastime. Lord Ramachandra banished Sita to the forest and Sita voluntarily agreed to it. Why? Because Lord Ram wanted to clearly establish this point that no one can achieve Siddhi, Sukha or Paramgatim without following Shastra Vidhi. Right. So the separation of Sita and Ram is simply an indication of the fact that Shastra Vidhi is very important to be followed. Of course, this is only one way of looking at it. There are many, many ways of looking at it. There is a Gaudiya Siddhanta behind it also, why Lord Ram and Sita were separated. But this is the Siddhanta given by the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, the Tatparya Nirnaya of Shripad Madhvacharya. So Suranaka now could not get liberation based on whatever he was doing because Lakshmi and Narayan, Lord Ram and Sita were separated. Therefore, Shastra Vidhi is very, very important. Anyone who rejects Shastra Vidhi, Yaha Shastra Vidhi Mutsrijja Vartate Kamakarata, and wants to have his Swavidhi, own method like Suranaka, Nasa Siddhim Avapnoti, cannot get perfection in his endeavor, Nasukham, no happiness in this world, Naparam Gatim, and no ultimate destination after death. So now the question would be that if the scriptures, the Shastras, talk about devotional service to Krishna, why then so many different procedures given? Why so many paths mentioned? Many people have this confusion. If the ultimate goal is devotional service to Krishna, why Karma Kand? Why Jnana Kand? Why Upasana Kand? Why? Because not everyone is the same. Not everyone will be on a level to immediately take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Therefore, the Vedic path, the Vedic scriptures give several paths in a way that people can be brought to the ultimate goal from wherever they are. They may be in Tamoguna, no problem. So the Vedas give a procedure in Tamoguna by which slowly they can rise to Rajoguna, Sattvaguna and ultimately Shuddha Sattva or pure devotional service to Krishna. Therefore, we might find in the Vedic scriptures things like meat eating also. Right? Like we are aware that amongst the 18 Puranas, there are 6 Puranas for the mode of goodness, 6 for the mode of ignorance, and 6 for the mode of passion. And as Prabhupada mentions here, in some tamasic scriptures, in some Puranas which are meant for Tamoguna, there is a recommendation of eating meat. Why? Because they just can't stop eating meat, so the scriptures help them regulate it. And like Radha Gopinath Prabhu always mentions in his Gita course, how they do it? How do the scriptures enjoin it? Number one, not any animal. Goat only. Which means they were eating all different kinds of meat. Now they are only going to eat the meat of one animal. Regulated. Immediately a regulation has come in. Number two, not only simply an animal like goat, but only once in a month on Amavasya day. So he who was eating meat every day now starts eating meat only once in a month. Number three, not just eating anywhere in your house, going outside the village, because others should not suffer. Why should others go through that trouble of, smelling the nasty odors of meat being cooked? So go outside. Therefore, the Kali temples would be outside the village, not in the village. So they have to go outside. Number four, after having reached there in the middle of the night, they have to go to the place, worship Goddess Kali, and then kill the goat with their own hands. Not that they go and buy some meat from a meat shop. They have to kill the goat with their own hands and utter a mantra in the ears of the goat. Mam Saha, I am killing you now. You can kill me in my next life.
Right.
So doing all of this, the person who is eating meat thinks, itna sab karne ki bajaye chhodi dete.
Right.
So hard, once in a month, only goat in the middle of the night, kill oneself, so painful to kill oneself. It's not easy to kill the animal oneself. Buying meat and eating is easy, but to see the emotional turmoil that the animal goes through is hard. And then finally, the last, it's like hitting the nail on the head, you know, saying that, I kill you now, you can kill me in my next life. The person stops eating meat.
Right.
So meat eating is recommended so that the person slowly gives up eating meat.
Right.
But today what has happened? Like the dacoits. They have given up Shastra Vidhi. If they eat meat according to Shastra Vidhi, it is guaranteed that slowly they will become devotees at one point of time or the other in their lives. Because it is the process. But what did the dacoits do? Prabhupada comments, Swavidhina, by their own vidhi, not by Shastra Vidhi. They were wanting to offer Jad Bharat as the sacrificial animal. But no Vedic literature, even the Tamasic Puranas, enjoin offering of a human being in sacrifice.
Right.
One time there was one devotee, Surendra Prabhu, he was talking to Srila Prabhupada. And he was telling Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I was in Germany. And when I was in Germany, there was a German priest who was living with me. And this German priest was telling me a story. Prabhupada said, what is the story? Surendra Prabhu said, when this priest was living with me, he told me that I went to a restaurant one day and I ordered a soup. And when the soup came in front of me, I ate the soup. This is the German priest telling. I ate the soup. And after the soup, I asked the man who brought the soup, what soup is this? So the person from the restaurant said, did you not see the puppy walking on the street as you came in? Oh, we just caught hold of that puppy and we made the fresh puppy soup for you. And the German priest was taken aback by surprise that they had fed him dog soup.
Right.
Prabhupada said, oh, what is the big deal? It happens everywhere, he said. He said, if you go to Hong Kong or China, you will never fight street dogs. Why? Because they just pick up street dogs and make soup and drink it. And Prabhupada said, even in India it happens. He said, in Assam, there is a very famous preparation called kukur pitha. What is this kukur pitha? Kukur means a dog.
Right.
Kukur pitha means you take a dog and you have some nice rice and jaggery cooked together. And then you feed the dog, cook this pitha means rice cooked with jaggery. And when he eats this, Prabhupada says, you beat the dog until the dog dies. And you cut the dog open and then cook it along with the rice and jaggery in his intestines. And that is a favorite delicacy in Assam called as kukur pitha.
Right.
You see? And I have at least 20 different stories which I can't cover in this class. 20 different stories of how people have this perverted ways of eating food. Even if it is eating meat, if they eat meat according to Shastra Vidhi, they will progress further. If they eat meat according to their own Vidhi, Swavidhi, then what is happening? Simply reaction after reaction after reaction. And the law of karma is going to catch them like hell. Prabhupada said, this is all in Aligarh. This is all from Harishwari Prabhu's Transcendental Diary, Volume 5. Prabhupada is discussing with Mr. Saigal, the owner of Tiger Lock Company.
Right.
So Prabhupada is telling them, Chandalopi Dvijasreshto Hari Bhakti Parayana. Even such a chandal, a dog eater who eats kukur pitha, right, or who drinks dog soup, even such a chandal, even such a shvapacha, chandalopi, he becomes Dvijasreshtha. He becomes the greatest and the topmost of all Brahmanas. How? Hari Bhakti Parayana. By becoming a devotee of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Anyone who takes to devotional service to Krishna, all of these other things then do not matter. Everything is gone away and he becomes the topmost Brahmana. He may have been a Shvapach. He may have been a Chandal, a dog eater. That is immaterial. Why? He was initially following Swavidhi. But now he has come to the essence of Shastra Vidhi. What is that? Pure devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. I remember when I was a child, the school which I attended was 15 minutes walk from where we lived. Right. And I can recollect very well that there were different varieties of school buses that were available. There was a certain school bus which would require that all the students be brought to a certain spot. And then the school bus would come there and pick them up and take to the school. And there was another school bus which would go to each home and pick up the child and take them to the school. Wherever the home would be on the way, the school bus would talk, pick up the child, school bus would stop, pick up the child and take them to the school. Another school bus, the parents should bring all the children to a certain marketplace and the school bus will be standing there and then the school bus will take them to the destination, to their school. Which is better? A school bus which asks the parents bring all the children to one spot, then will take them to the school? Or a school bus which has them, which picks them up from wherever they are? Which picks them up from wherever they are. The different paths mentioned in the Vedas is like a school bus which wants the students to come to a certain path. If one wants to practice bhakti, what is mentioned in the Gita? Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmuktah bhajante mam dridhavrata. Who can do bhajante mam dridhavrata? Who can practice devotional service to me and therefore go back to Godhead? Only he who is free from all sins. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam. He who has punya karma. Te dvandva, who is free from dvandva and moha, which means everyone has to first come to a certain place and then bhakti will start and one will go back to the spiritual world, which is compared to the school. Right. But what is the path of Krishna consciousness given by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The path of Krishna consciousness is, don't worry. You don't have to go through all that process. It's not that you have to finish all of your sins, dvandva, moha, and then you can worship Krishna and practice bhakti. How will you? How will we get rid of the sins? How will we be freed of dvandva and moha without worshipping Krishna? But Gita, what does it say? You have to be freed of all that and then you can worship Krishna. Right. So what is the process of Krishna consciousness given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The process of Harinam Sankirtan. It is like a school bus which picks us up from wherever we are. A brahmachari, a grahastha, vanaprastha or sannyasi. Right. Grihe thako, bane thako, sada hari bole dako. Whether an Indian or an American, whether a brahmana or a shudra, whether a chandala or a shvapacha, whatever we are, the school bus of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not ask us to come to a certain prerequisite qualification that one has to be free from this, 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 then bhakti can be performed. Just like a school bus picks up students from each house wherever it is and brings them to the school. Similarly, the path given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picks us up from wherever we are and brings us to the ultimate perfection of life, pure love of Godhead. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, Chandalopi Dvijasreshtho Hari Bhakti Parayana. One may be a chandal. The school bus of the Vedic path says, first come to be a Brahman. Where all your sins are gone, where you are qualified, then you can be a Bhakta. But the path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no. You may be a chandal. Start chanting the names of Lord Krishna. Serve Vaishnavas. Hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right. Visit the holy dhams, the five most potent paths of devotional service. And immediately one can come to the same status or even higher. Right. That is the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has not only rejected Swavidhi, he has also rejected Shastravidhi in one sense, gone beyond Shastra, right? And the Lord has now given us a path by which we can come to the ultimate perfection of life. So Srila Prabhupada's statement here is very significant. In this verse, the word Swavidhina, according to their own ritualistic principles, is very significant. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande.